Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The Grippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Say hello to our friends at 97.3 The Machine, San Diego Talk and Rocks. Also 105.7 The X Rocking Peoria, Illinois, and Rock 103 in Fayetteville, North Carolina. That would be our friends there at Fort Bragg. Big show for you today. Ryan Castle, Drunk in Charge, coming in to sit and spin. We'll go back 30 years for the top 10 songs in the USA, and Ask the Men's Room is also on tap. We're talking about puking today, and if you did not hear, story goes back a few months, but the norovirus hit the Winter Olympics. Almost 200 people got sick there. And when you think about things that you want to do in your life, travel, see different things, this is a bucket list thing. I don't think anyone accidentally shows up at the Olympics.
In South Korea, right
not from the States. You're doing the touristy thing. The winter vomit bug hit, and dozens of security guards at Olympic sites started to experience norovirus symptoms. That includes nausea, diarrhea, stomach pain, vomiting. There is nothing, and this is also, you've got tickets. This is like going on vacation and getting sick. Where,
yeah, man.
You know,
yeah.
It's just like, man, there's no
worse
time.
But it's an interactive vacation. I mean, it's one, you're not there to relax. You're there to do specific things, see specific things. And aside from the fact that you can't stop pooping yourself, you're also puking on top of it.
And it's more contagious than, they say, the seasonal flu or Ebola or any of that stuff. So they say one person with norovirus infected can sicken up to 3 to 4 other people. See, I didn't realize that.
I did not know.
I just kind of thought it was like you ate something, man, and you're going to get sick. Not if I brushed into somebody in a hallway, and now I'm throwing up.
My first exposure to norovirus. Well, not that I've had norovirus. The first time I heard about norovirus from the cruise ship industry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because there was a period, I want to say like 5 years ago, where like basically if you took a cruise, you were going to get diarrhea and puke all over the place. Just as a guarantee,
you take a cruise, but how could, man, you could go.
And you're stuck on, you can't get away from anybody.
You could go into frickin', Fremont in Vegas and eat at a buffet and not get sick.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you could eat at a food truck, man, and like, I don't know, in the middle of goddamn.
On the side of a highway.
Yeah, in the Dominican Republic, you know what I mean? You don't even know what the meat is, and you won't even get sick.
But you go on a cruise ship.
You're eating like, you know. That would be awful. Chicken cordon bleu. Blue's the back part.
Right. That's the thing. You can't get away from anybody. Like, and everyone's just. There's one ship, I want to say, like, their electric went down for a while and norovirus hit. So people are, like, pooping in the stairwells. Like, it was. The situation got really, really out of hand. But they still had to wait 3 days before they could go to a port of call. And all the ports of call were like, hey, man, no offense. We really don't want your ship here.
Because
you guys are that sick.
What is your infamous puke story? 844-999-OLA.
I can see where the port of call is coming from.
I get it, but then what do you tell the passengers? Like, hey, listen, we tried Miami, they turned us down. We tried New Orleans, they turned us down, man. We got to stop pooping. Like, they're not taking us because we're disgusting, and the power's been out. We got to figure this out. That was a bad trip.
A couple of
comments came in. It says, I once threw up underwater while getting my scuba certification. Basically thought I was going to die choking on my vomit underwater. Bonus, it attracted a lot of fish, and I didn't die.
I bet it did.
During a flight into Baghdad, the C-130's missile target alarm went off, and the pilot began evasive maneuvers. A young soldier sitting next to me threw up in his helmet. Then in his delirium, he put it on. That's when I puked into his lap.
Oh,
that's from Ranger Rob.
Oh, man.
This person says, the sickest I ever got was when I mixed Mad Dog 2020 with half and half vodka. I got alcohol poisoning, and I puked everywhere, including 3 people. By the way, it's not that you mix Mad Dog with half and half vodka. It's that you mix Mad Dog with you.
Anything.
And then it says, I puked. I love this move. I puked into a 6-sack in first class during the safety demo as we pushed back from the gate. I did it as quietly as I could because I was drunk as...
Yeah. No. How do you get that messed up, man? You can't. That's the thing, man. If you're going to sit in first class, you've got to allow yourself the opportunity to enjoy the amenities.
Free drinks,
of
first,
unless you just need to sleep it off, which I guess if you're rich and you fly first class all the time, you're like, I got a big seat, I can go to sleep. But man, the times I've been in first class, I'm like, they're going to serve me food, right?
Drinks!
They're going to serve me. I'm going to get like a hot towel. This is crazy.
Drinks. I didn't even know what to do with the hot towel. I'm like, is this for my hands? Is this for my face?
Dude,
like,
I had a flight.
For both,
man.
Right?
Is it for both?
I always try to put it on both.
I just watched everyone. Like, I'm sitting in first class. I haven't been there before. And this woman comes up with tongs and, like, gives me this really hot ass towel.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
like, I don't know what she thinks I should do with this. So I kind of look around and I see this old woman next to me is, like, doing her hands. So I just did my hands. I'm like, really?
The person I saw did it on their face.
Really?
And their hands.
Damn, if
so
I had known, I'd have done both.
Then my hands.
Okay.
Well, maybe that guy was just guessing.
Maybe.
Try it at a sushi restaurant. What is your infamous puke story? 844-999. Jesus Christ.
Hello, Carlos. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, Thrill, I'm with you, bro. We just flew first class to Mexico a couple weeks ago, and I didn't know what the hell to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, like it feels very nice. You know what I mean? It feels great, but I'm like, I don't know what to do.
What, with a hot towel?
Yeah.
You just put it on this thing.
What if they hand you the hot towel? Like, they want you to do something.
Yeah, they want you to clean your dirty ass.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it was my hands.
Face
and
hands.
Or both.
Yeah, both.
Okay,
both.
Now we know.
Both, I think.
Well, now we're cultured.
Right.
Yeah. But this happened in, like, 2011. I had a Halloween party. You know, I just turned 21, and, you know, I have my own house and stuff. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to throw a big old Halloween party. So I have all my friends come over. And, like, we're all just turning 21, so we're all just having bottles and bottles of just everything. And my fiance, she's my girlfriend at the time, but she had came back from Wyoming, and she brought some Everclear home. And then we got some stuff called Stahl. It's like 180 proof. I don't know what we were thinking.
Were you mixing this in punch, or were you doing shots of it?
We were doing shots and then mixing it with whatever we had.
Wow.
We had like, it was just a crazy night.
You could start your car with that if you ran out of gas.
That's how the space shuttle used to fly. And by the way, Everclear should be called Neverclear, in my experience.
Yeah, exactly. And so anyway, we are going, we're drinking or whatever, and my friend, he
Jesus.
Is, huh?
What was that?
Oh, I'm at work.
All right.
I'm a garbage man.
Okay.
But anyway.
Now that we know what it is, it's funny.
He's at work. Yeah, he's working.
So my friend, he's drinking and stuff, and towards the end of the night, well, it had to be the end of the night, because he was sitting there just laughing. And all of a sudden, he just starts puking on himself, just like a whole bunch, just in our brand new couch we had just bought too. And so he just puking. I remember the music stopped. Exactly, the music stopped because someone stole my damn iPod, and it was just a whole big thing. So he kind of like slumped over into it, and everyone started clearing out. They're like, "All right, Los, see you later. You know, good party. We're out of here, though." And so I'm like, what the hell? Like, what do I do with this guy? And one of my friends was like, just leave him in it. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to, because he's going to clean that stuff up in the morning. So we left him in it overnight, woke up in the morning, he was still asleep. We just went to the Seahawks game and came home, and it was all clean. So.
Oh, so he left.
Oh, they cleaned
it, clean the place. Nice. Okay, all right. Yeah, most people, when they realize what they've done, you don't want to be the guy that pukes and have someone else
you
clean
would
up
hope.
Your puke.
But how many times have you dealt with roughly the same situation, and by the time you turn around, the guy was gone, but the puke and the mess was still there? I feel like that happens more often than it should, man.
You.
Where you're like, come on, man. You know,
and it's not even that sometimes that it's that person's fault. They're just that drunk. They don't know.
Sure.
They just puke and leave it.
Last time I puked, I mean, and I puked a lot. I just got really, really sick. And I thought, you know what? I did a really good job of doing this. And then I went to pee like the next morning.
Oh,
lifted up the lid. And the whole underneath side of the lid is painted in this pink and red, whatever the hell I threw up. And I'm like, I guess I didn't do the greatest job cleaning up after.
Every time. Because you don't think about it. You clean up everything else, right. Then you go to pee and you're like, dear God, man.
Puke and blood are very distinctive. You're like, that's dried up puke. Mm-hmm. Or that's dried up blood.
But the thing with the blood, like with puke, you go, oh man, I must have puked. With the blood, you're like, was it me bleeding?
I was thinking more on the sidewalk, but.
Ah, okay. You've never had the experience at home where you're like, why is there blood in my sink?
Puking is
the last time I had mysterious blood, it was very easy to trace it back to what happened.
What happened?
I was trimming and got too close.
Oh,
downstairs? Oh.
Yeah.
Ow.
How much did you bleed,
man? Yeah, you really bled out.
It bled. You know, those things bleed a little
they
bit.
They do.
Both of them.
Yeah, no, so
I like two for one.
I hopped right in the shower, figured I'd get the water going and stuff, and then the next day I found a couple drops on the side of the tub.
What is your infamous puke story? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Michelle. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi there.
Hola.
So this was probably about New Year's, three or four years ago. My roommate and I decided to throw a party, and everybody's drinking, having a good time. And it's kind of winding down. We're sitting down at the table in the garage, having a cigarette, playing King's Cup. And then my roommate slumps into her seat. And just as I'm about to get out the words, "Are you okay?" she projectile vomits all over me. And the guy, because I was sitting on a guy's lap, because, you know, we're all drinking and everybody's on top of everybody.
I think he reviews you or remembers you as the human shield.
Well, that's exactly what he did. He shoved me towards her.
Yeah, he's a smart man. Yeah. You probably still date him to this day, don't you?
No. This is the last time I talked to him, probably, but...
It's just reflex. I'm sure it wasn't personal to you. It's just, I mean, look, if we were doing the same thing, I would do the same thing. You're the obstacle between me and whatever was in her belly.
Yeah, man.
But
I mean, there's puke coming out.
Part of it was I was in thigh-high boots, and so not only did it get all over me, but like I could feel it seeping inside of my boot.
How much are they?
Keep talking,
yeah,
mama.
Those aren't cheap boots either, are they?
No, they were like $300 boots.
Okay.
Why does anyone wear anything nice and or expensive on New Year's Eve? I mean, honestly, like there's 3 days out of the year. I understand a lot of people throw parties, but if it's New Year's Eve, St. Patrick's Day, or Cinco de Mayo, understanding how we choose to celebrate those, like, don't wear anything that you didn't buy at Kmart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Kmart should have a run on merchandise.
Present. I was excited about wearing some cute hooker boots. I don't know.
You know, it's like the same theory as
you got treated like a hooker.
Anytime
puked on.
I don't wear much that's white. But anytime I do, like if I wear a white T-shirt or something, it's just situational. Well, where are we going tonight? Rib place,
right? You know, barbecue,
Sloppy Joe's, all you can eat. Oh, that's great. Thanks. You know, like it always just seems to work out that way for me. What is your infamous puke story? 844-999-OLA. More of your calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Lionel Messi has revealed that he no longer gets sick and vomits on the pitch during games, owing it all to a change in his diet. Here is the quote. "I ate badly for many years. Chocolates, fizzy drinks, and everything. That is what made me throw up during the games. Now, I look after myself better. I eat fish, meat, salads. Everything is organized and taken care of." As the Barcelona forward admitted that he used to just get sick all the time. After he vomited while playing a friendly for Argentina in 2014, there had been concerns that he might have some kind of serious illness or whatever. And he said, "No, that's not what it is. I just basically ate crap. And then I started eating a little bit better. And since that point in time, I'm not throwing up nearly as much." See, I would say that, but would you think that maybe he could have been hungover as well?
Sure. I mean, but that's not what you're going to say, right?
I think it's different, too. Like, he's a professional athlete, so he plays sports all the time, right? So, like, any normal person, you're going to go to the gym. You're probably not going to eat a candy bar and a soda right before you go in.
No,
right. But that's the only, like, hour of activity you're going to do like that.
True.
Whereas he's so used to it, he probably just like, yeah, let's eat whatever the hell we want and go play.
And there's burn it off.
Yeah, and there's a fine line between being able to run for 2 hours nonstop and when to eat before that and when not to eat and still maintaining energy and everything else. I mean, hell, playing football, people puked almost every day.
Sure.
I mean, even just in conditioning or whatever, if you took a hit, man, sometimes you just take a hit and you're like, I gotta throw up, and you just throw up out of your face mask. Because your head's spinning, you know what I mean? Like, you're nauseous and all of a sudden you're like, I gotta throw up. And then you take yourself out for a second and you
drink some water.
Especially like the beginning of football camp, man. Like,
oh, God.
Everybody's not in the best, at least in high school, wasn't in the best shape. Sure. Like, you're running all those gassers.
And professional.
Oh, there's nothing.
Yeah, right? We hear every year.
There's nothing. That just sucks more than those 2-a-days and just, oh, God, I hated that. The smell of grass, sometimes it goes, like, oh, that smells like 2-a-days. Like, God,
Everyone else says it smells like spring.
Ring.
Like, you know how, like, some coaches will help you, like, you know, like, try to stay fired up, right?
Sure.
It's not like a sophomore or something. Everybody called me tiny, so I was really fat. And we're running gassers, right, across the field and back. And as we're coming back, like, I'm dragging ass. And he's a coach, and he's standing in front of me, like, come on, Sonny. Like, I got you, man. Come on. You can finish. And as I finish, I puked on him.
Oh, yeah.
And he
oh,
goes, yeah. I got tired of puke on my shoe. What am I going to tell my girl?
You need to ease up on me, man.
I got tiny puke.
What is your infamous puke story? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Adam. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, fellas.
Hola.
So this was my junior year in high school. My stepdad and I were on our way to Daytona, to the Daytona 500. And I've never had a problem flying. I love to fly, especially as a kid. I was glued to the window. And so we're flying down. We had our layover. We're continuing on into Daytona. And it was really windy. Well, so windy that the captain decided that we're going to divert and go to Tampa. Well, it was a little less windy there. And we're in one of those planes where you got the 5 seats across the middle, the 2 on the side.
Yeah, the wide body.
And the stewardess station. There's one, like, mid-plane. So
yeah.
Our seats were backed up against that, and then there was more passengers at the tail end.
I really like that plane, by the way. Whenever I get on one of these, I'm like, this is nice and spacious, plenty of bathroom room.
The only reason I like those planes, because typically it means I'm going somewhere far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's that big, like, I'm going somewhere cool.
Yeah, exactly, and we were. Well, I'm on the, of the seats in the middle, I'm on the far right end, so my elbow's hanging into the aisleway. We're coming into Tampa, and I look at my stepdad, and I'm like, I'm going to throw up. And like I said, never had a problem before. He says, no, you're not. Well, I'm digging for a little wax-coated plastic, you know, paper bag, and I start spewing. Well, to my right, across the aisle, is a kid probably in his early 20s, and his little brother, and his probably a couple years younger than me. The little kid is snickering at me and pointing, and I'm thinking, mid-drool, you little SOB, you don't stop laughing, you're going to be covered in this in a second. Well, the captain decides to come back on the intercom and say, now, let me ask you guys this. Any idea of what competition is going on in Daytona in February? National Cheerleader Camp competition.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm ashamed that I was not aware of that.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I feel bad about myself now.
Well, the captain comes on and decides to inform us that the whole tail end of the airplane is a cheerleading squad, and they're going to run down the aisles and wave and cheer to everybody while I'm still dripping profusely from my nostrils, mouth, ears, I'm sure. So, yeah, it was one of my less glorious days in life.
Hey, be glad you were only 5. That would be much more mortifying if you're, like, 17 years old.
How old were you?
I was 17. It was my junior year in high school.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was thinking you're really. All right, yeah.
So you're 17. No. Their high school
now I feel horrible. That's a really bad time, man.
No, it makes a lot more sense. A little more embarrassing for you.
You're the most beautiful people your age in all of the country. Make an impression.
Yeah, so I'm sitting here thinking, great, now we're going to be walking around Daytona, and there's going to be groups of girls pointing, thinking, okay, hey, there's that guy. Yeah, thankfully we drove to Daytona from Tampa and didn't get to see any of them ever again.
Are you a NASCAR fan?
As of this year, no.
What happened this year? Yeah.
You know, they've just changed the rules. I grew up in a racing family, and we've been to Daytona 3 times. Grew up in a racing family. It's totally different now.
What are the rule changes they made that have changed it significantly? You know, because from my point of view, just keep driving left, so I don't know much more than that.
Well, back in the good old days, you used to be able to put the pole sitter, the fastest car. He never sat at the front. He started at the back. He had to work to get back up to the front. And now they're doing these races in, like, 3 phases to where they make it all equal and let everybody group back up and everything. It's not just get out there and run circles. We got to make this fair.
Is this TV revenue, you're guessing?
What's that? Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's getting so political and crap, just like everything else is nowadays. It's
well,
just,
you know what's interesting? I read this recently about NASCAR, and this is very true. I just read either today or yesterday, but I guess NASCAR got its big television break in 1979. Okay, this was the first televised Daytona 500. And so, you know, people watched it, but the thing that put NASCAR on the map, believe it or not, I don't remember if it was the very end of the race or somewhere in the middle, but two of the top drivers, I guess maybe they've been rubbing or something, but they got out of their cars and got into a fist fight in the middle of the track. And people instantly were glued
probably
to NASCAR.
Probably the wall trip.
Right, and that's when NASCAR blew up. They're like, hell yeah, man. I mean, this sport's got it all.
I had a buddy who was big in it, and he was always trying to convince me to go into both of my neighbors to go to a race. And so one of my neighbors went. And they went to Dover, whatever the hell they run in Dover, Delaware. Yeah. And so I asked my neighbor who went for the first time with my buddy who would go all the time. And he said, man, he said, it's a great time. The party is unbelievable. If you don't know anything about NASCAR, go for the festivities, go for everything else. And I said, well, how is the actual racing? And he's like, well, man, when you get in there, it's loud and, you know, the cars are going around. He's like, but first of all, you don't know who the leader is.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You
right.
don't know who is. You don't know how many laps there are. Like, they have different signs that kind of give you some indication. But
TV makes it easy.
It does. And that's the one thing about racing, because they're always following the front of the pack. But as you sit there, you can kind of look at a board, but you're not exactly sure, like, who's in the lead, and you're not...
Aren't the tracks, like, a mile long, too?
You can't see everything, right?
That's right.
And then when they go by, then that's when you need to pick up what's going on. If they go by so fast, like, if you can't... If you don't know what to follow, he said it's pretty difficult as a layman to go. But at the same time, yes, you should go. It's a great
time.
You'll
have a great time.
You just, it might be harder once you get in there to kind of... I know what I'd do. I'd get in there and watch it for like 10, 15 minutes. You're like, all right, let's go get a beer.
Right. Yeah, back in the day, you used to be able to bring your coolers in.
What, oh, that's right. Yeah. To the infield, at least. Right? Or was that in the grandstand, too?
I thought, like, in the 90s, I thought you could bring them in, like, to the stands.
It depends on the track, probably, like anything else. Like, you know, Preakness, you
or
can
the
go nuts.
Sponsor
Churchill, you can't. So, what is your infamous puke story? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Kat. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi, how you doing?
Hola.
Yeah, I got a great story for you, and it was a terrible night. Out with a bunch of girls. One of them gets really, really, really drunk, and she's got to take a leak. So we're in a park, and sorry, I'm running a loader right now at a job.
Oh, we had a trash guy call earlier, man. It's all good.
Do what you need to.
You talk to us and keep working. We're not here to
keep loading the cat.
I'm not a garbage man, but yeah.
What are you loading?
Dirt inside of a warehouse at the Port of San Diego.
Nice.
With a machine I've never run before, so...
I'm glad you called us.
Don't F this up, Kat.
Perfect timing.
Right, exactly.
So this girl, she's got to go to the bathroom. She's stumbling drunk, and I'm going to be a gentleman, and I'm going to hold her up under her arms while she squats and relieves herself, right?
Wait, are you standing behind her?
Yes, of course, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm glad I was, because right when that happened, she let go right into her pants and her panties and everything, just like a garbage basket.
Now, are you still
perfect.
What do you do at this point? Like, you're trying to be a gentleman, which is more of a gentleman than I would be, I'll be honest. So now...
Okay, I'm still a gentleman. I remove her pants and her panties.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just hearing that out of context.
Yeah, what a guy. What a guy.
Hey. So, anyway, and yes, I wash everything in a drinking fountain in a park.
What? Does that include her bits, like you have her and her vagina in a water fountain in a park?
Here, sit here.
No. I did kind of mop around a little bit there with her with her panties, but on herself. But
you are a true gentleman. This is...
Yeah.
When we come to San Diego, Kat, can we drink with you?
Absolutely. I'm a whiskey guy.
I got
whiskey on my license plate.
All right. Take us out, show us the town.
Do you ever get pulled over? Like, look, man, there's a theory that we have. Like... Look, if you do drugs and you just put a giant pot leaf decal in the back of your car, all right? I feel like the cops are more prone to pull you over. If you have the dancing bears from the Grateful Dead, which says, I might even be stoned as I'm driving, I feel like you're just begging the cops to pull you over. So if you have whiskey on your license plate, like, have you found
it? people have told me might as well have I'm drunk on there, but
DUI. That's my vanity point.
Well, I did get pulled over one time, and a cop asked me about that, and I said I was part of the Whiskey A Go Go restoration project.
That's not a bad call. All right, all right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why not?
I've been military for W, man.
Yeah. So
I know. Hey,
first time I ever heard your show, and I wish I lived here now.
What's that? What you wish you did? What now?
I said first time I ever heard your show, and now I wish I lived here.
You don't live in San Diego?
No, I do not.
Where do you live originally?
Long Beach.
Oh well, boo hoo.
You know,
I mean, come on.
I can't find my tiny body.
Like you and I live in Reno,
right? Then we'd feel bad for you.
Exactly, man. You live in Long Beach. Well, I think you're okay.
I tell people I'm from out of town. They said, "Where are you from?" I said, "California."
Well, thanks for calling in, man. Yeah, that's I like the like I said, I like every quote he had out of context. I was a gentleman, so I removed her pants and panties. I was a gentleman, so I mopped up around her vagina with wet panties that I'd soaked in a water fountain at a park.
Sopped up.
Like, I'm pretty sure you could put that in a Hallmark card, and that's flying off the shelf.
What is your infamous puke story? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Thor. Welcome to the men's room.
Oh, what's Hola. Up, guys?
Hola.
Oh, sorry, first-time caller. Getting used to it.
We appreciate it.
I know you were on hold for a while, man. Thank you for your patience.
Absolutely. Love the show. It was great. I get it in my headphones now.
Thanks, man.
Sweet. So my story, was having a hard day at work, got off work late, was supposed to be going to a party. I was going to Lucky, one of those massive raves that they do at the WAMU Theater, and I was running behind. I still had to go pick my buddy up, so I thought it would be a good idea to drop my party pills at the beginning of the drive to Seattle from Kent.
Yeah, always a good idea. Do it right before you drive. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, it was supposed to be the timing, because, you know, pills have that, like, period before they actually take effect. I was trying to time it just right so I could park and be good and then walk in and be prepared at 10 o'clock or whenever I got there.
Be a responsible drug driver.
That's right.
Oh, absolutely. Timing is everything. You got to count that. So I get there, and right as we pull up, still dead sober, and I was still angry, and I was talking to my buddy who had taken the same amount of what I had for his first time ever. And I felt bad for him because this is the point where everything hits me all at once, and I tell him profusely that I need a minute. I need a minute, and get out of the car. And he's like, oh, God, am I going to die?
Oh.
I'm supposed to be the experienced one. So we end up walking down the street. He's like, you good, man? I'm like, nah, because getting the mouth sweats, you know the entire thing. But at least amongst my friends, I'm the notorious puker, but I am absolutely the politest puker is what I've been deemed.
How are you a polite puker?
Because I'm not that guy that's going to puke on your couch. I'm not that guy that's going to puke. I'm going to find the most convenient situation, clean it up before anybody ever sees it. I have a rule that nobody should have to clean my vomit, so I don't have to clean anybody else's
vomit. Just keep in mind, you vomit enough that you have to have that rule. But still, I like that you've taken the time to initiate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, we're walking down the street, and they have those potted plants for the art. And I decide, you know, well, this is going to happen, but I don't want to be in the middle of brick and everything, and everybody's going to have to walk through it. So
yeah,
I
think that's a polite call. I think that was the right call. I think that was the right decision to make.
To me, that's why they have potted plants in cities. Like, look, no one stands around a potted plant and says, man, it's a beautiful plant. But I've never heard anyone say that, but I've seen multiple people peeing them, puking them, and on occasion drop a deuce in one.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely what you got to do sometimes. But I managed to hit, like, heave for the first two, and then I puked on the next three, hit every plant, not a drop on myself, did not stop walking.
You know,
you can walk and puke, man. That's one thing.
I will say this, Thor. If you're at the beginning of that experience where you're just kind of stepping into it, I've had many of those experiences where it just was bad on your stomach right away, and you just kind of have to throw up at the beginning, right, when it kicks in. And then you're kind of like, not to talk too much about peyote, but the same kind of experience that you would have. Let's say if you're to eat a bun to that. I mean, you know what I mean? You just start puking, and all your friends are like, I just want to throw up real quick, and you basically throw up at the same time. Like, you know, if five people go down, like, you know, you're all throwing up, and then you pop back up, and you're like, I'm okay, I'm alive, and then, you know, you float around for 8 hours.
I was going to say, that's what I have heard about peyote. You're giving me your first hand, like, yeah, that's pretty much it,
that's
man.
That's kind of it.
Yeah. Puke at the beginning, have a great time.
Uh-huh, yeah. We actually had a trash can in the middle of the living room waiting because we knew what the hell was going to happen. Because the time we did it before that, and I'm 20 years old. You know what I mean? Like, this is exciting.
How many times have you done it?
Twice.
Twice?
Yeah, my buddy was one of those 1/17th Native American guys.
Oh, God, right.
You know what I mean?
Well, he knew enough that you had to get ready to
puke. He was very experienced at this, and that's why we kind of felt safe with it. It was a great time, but it's like it's just understood. You've got to puke before anything starts.
Did you know that the first time?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything was explained. We're all in a learning environment. You know what I mean? Like, it's all like, there was a huge Rubbermaid big trash can, and after everyone puked, like, the Brett tied it all up, man, threw it outside, and we were good to go. And that basically was how the night started. It was like, it was understood, we just sit there until we puke, and then we go and we do stuff.
That's very polite. He had the trash ready and took it out.
I think that's very good. I like that.
And it was kind of funny, because people just stand up and go like this. It's like all of us in a circle, so we stand up and go, and then go sit back down, and then somebody else would get up and go, and then everybody threw up, and we were just like, all right, let's go out.
Is that everybody? Yeah, all right, let's
everybody
go.
Throw up? Okay, then, I'm good. No, I feel fine. I'm drinking water.
It's like asking your kids if they have to go to the bathroom before they get in the car.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Let's just make sure we all puke before we leave. What is your infamous puke story? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Billy. Welcome to the men's room.
Bacon, bourbon, and boobies, bitches.
Hola.
I think Thrill's going to particularly like this one, given his background working in the kitchen. Uh-oh. My story is about bucket meat.
Bucket meat?
Bucket meat.
Okay. Mm.
So my wife is Mexican. Her family lives in Juarez. And a bunch of times she's telling me about this great stuff that her father would always get her every time she would go down there called tripitas. I have no clue what it is, but I'm like, I'll try it.
You're gonna try to? You mean you're gonna try to make it?
No, I was gonna try it from where her family buys it.
Oh, okay.
And I am almost white enough to be transparent, which means I don't really fit in so well in Juarez.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna go with them. I'll go get this food. We'll have it, and we walk down the street to a gas station near where her parents live, and there's some dude standing outside the gas station with one of those old metal, like, janitor mop buckets.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start explaining to me, oh, that's not his bucket. That used to be his father's bucket. And then they open up the lid, and inside this bucket is meat.
What kind of meat?
Yeah,
so it's basically tripe that was essentially fried in a janitor's pail.
And this is what your girlfriend wants to eat. Your wife.
Oh, she's my wife now.
Okay.
Is she a cheap date when you take her to dinner, I'm guessing?
No, she was going to take me there. I was there with, it was her brother, me. I think her sister was there too. Her dad may have walked with us.
I'm just going to assume you threw up.
Her parents' place. Oh, this is the best part. We try it, no issues. The next day is Christmas Day. We're back in El Paso, and I'm like, let's just go out and grab some Chinese food. And I got the worst food poisoning I've ever had in my life.
So you go from being Mexican to Jewish in 24 hours.
So the tripe deep fried and the janitor's bucket did not get him sick.
Bucket meat was fine.
Bucket meat.
Christmas Chinese food took him over the edge. Mm-hmm. What is your infamous puke story? 844-999. Ola, hold the line. More of your calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hola, bitches. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Silicon Rock Castle's Rocket Charge will be in a Sit and Spin. We'll go back 30 years for the top 10 songs in the USA. Sit and Spin is on the way. And today we're going to talk about puke as a guy was busted on St. Paddy's Day for throwing up out of his car while driving drunk. That comes our way from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Probably drunk on the Yingling. I did see where Yingling is now coming out with a Pilsner.
Oh, yeah?
Full time for the first time that they've done a new beer in a long time.
I like beers, man. I don't know what it is. Pilsner's my least favorite. That said, I will never turn down a free beer.
Lionel Messi reveals why he used to vomit on the pitch. He basically just boils it down to his diet and said he ate crap, and now he eats much better fish and chicken and vegetables and all that stuff. And we had the story of the norovirus that sickened 200 people at the Olympics. And more than recently, either Nor'easter 1-2... one of the ones that are the fourth one still hasn't hit, but there was a bad incident at Dulles International Airport where basically the pilot said that every single person on the plane threw up, including the pilots who were on the verge of throwing up on a very bumpy descent. So our question, what is your infamous puke story? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Rusty. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
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 So I'm out with my brother and some buddies drinking really heavy one night, and we end up at the bowling alley bar. So I kind of hook up with the bartender, sat there for a couple hours drinking a little bit more and a little bit more, waiting for her. By the time she gets off and drags me back to her place, I'm pretty well plowed. So we get over to her house. She gives me a giant red Gatorade, pound that thing down, and then we start doing the no pants dance in the bathroom.
In the bathroom? Why were you doing it in the bathroom of her home?
You know, it was in the bedroom, her bathroom of her bedroom.
Ah, okay.
That makes any sense.
Close enough. I gotcha.
Still seems like you're in the bedroom.
I mean, is it right? But
maybe you're going to take a shower together?
It's way over there.
All right.
So we're in there, and I kind of got her over the sink a little bit, and here it comes. I feel the water of the mouth, the whole deal. I try to hit the sink. All over her hair like a rocket, just a waterfall. Everywhere. So then I wake up in the morning, naked in the fetal position on the ground there in the bathroom while she's yelling at me from her bed.
Did you ever see her again?
No, but that morning as she's yelling, I just say, look, if things happen, get dressed, you're taking me to breakfast. And that was it.
And you never got another date after your charm.
Nope, that was it. Last time.
Did you still go to that bowling alley?
Yes, Puyallup Bowling Alley, great place.
Oh, Rusty.
Shout out.
Rusty, you don't play the trombone, do you?
Yeah.
I feel like if you're Rusty, you got to have a trombone in your living room.
Some people come over,
they're like,
it's Rusty's trombone.
You play the trombone? Like, yep.
Sure
what,
do.
What is your infamous puke story? 844-999-OLA.
If you go over to Cleveland's house, he steams everything.
Right, exactly.
Steam clams, steam mussels.
Oh, man.
I like that Rusty just said, yeah. He said, exactly. Yeah. Take me to breakfast.
Exactly.
I mean, a one-night stand of any breakfast is bold enough.
I puked in your hair while I had you bent over your sink.
Oh, my God.
And it was the red Gatorade.
Oh, exactly. The worst kind. I mean, that dye in that stuff, man, it probably dyes the inside of your stomach. Probably eats through the acid.
Well, I wasn't there long enough.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure the back of your hair.
Did you dye the back of your hair red?
Now you know how it is. One of these boulders puked on the back of my hair.
I told you the one time I puked up, was it Fruit Punch Alizé? And then my buddy was like, that was the nicest smelling puke I've ever smelled in my life.
Yeah.
Also stained my shoes. They were fresh.
Hello, Trevor. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores. What's going on, guys?
How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, man.
Good. All right, so this story is, this is one of countless stories we have with this friend. Drunken stories, but basically, you know, we were all over at a buddy's house, and we're all having a good time. Everybody's drinking, everybody's feeling good, and we're all kind of sitting in a circle out back. He had like a he had one of those patio tables with chairs all the way around, so we're all kind of sitting in a circle. And for whatever reason,
hey, hold on for 2 seconds. We gotta do a little station ID here thing, and then we'll get back to your story, which you're gonna pick up and make faster, right?
Hola! The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.